do. We're going to chant Jai Radha Madhava before we start. And remember, it's interesting with the sound shush. You know why it makes people... Oh. So you know why it makes people be quiet?
The sound
the baby hears in the womb. But I got criticized for using that sound. You know why?
You're not the mother.
That's half right. This is one of those Indian ritual things. I got told that if you make that sound, it cracks the ether and the demons come. Well, guess what? No demons have come yet. Unless you count me as a demon. So you got all these, in this country, picked up a lot of Indian ritual stuff. Something like that. Or like I mentioned about the Brahmin thread yesterday. And this was another thing. Oh, another thing is like you're supposed to snap your fingers when you yawn. Anyone's heard about that before? Because if you don't snap your fingers when you yawn, your soul will leave your body or the ghost will come in. Well, guess what? I never snap my fingers when I yawn. So I guess I'm in trouble. First time I saw someone do that, snap their fingers, I thought they were hungry. And I offered them prasada. But they went. So we have all these different things we've added. And chanting Hare Krishna, well, that's not so important. You know, just snap your fingers. And you'll be happy and have your sika, wear a dhoti, and you'll be happy. Just join the Hare Krishna club. So anyway, so it's a question of understanding our priorities and also understanding what is a detail and what is a principle. Principle means something that you can't take away from Krishna consciousness, like chanting Hare Krishna, you can't take it away. Or by offering food to Krishna before you eat it, you can't take away. Detail means how you dress, the type of tilak you wear. Just like you know, in South India they have very thick tilak. Brahmanuja tilak. Their sika is much bigger in South India. Here we have a small sika. Why do we have sikas? Does anyone know? Nobody knows why the men have sikas. So you can tell who was a man, who was a woman. No. Not all Vaishnavas have sikas. Did you know Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyasi, shaved off his sika? The reason we have sikas, though, we have some method for Krishna to pull us back to Godhead. And for those of you who are losing your hair like me, we're not going back to Godhead. And for those of you, for the ladies, they are going back to Godhead because they can definitely be fooled by their hair. Now, the reason we have sikhas, it's a tradition. We follow the tradition. I also have a sikha. I'm not giving up my tradition. We follow the tradition. We identify ourselves. It helps us with our sense of self-identification. There's a reason for that. But people can go back to Godhead without sikhas. That may come as a shock to you. There's a lot of bald people in our Hare Krishna movement who are going back to Godhead. What? Yeah. Krishna doesn't do a dress check. When you're leaving your body, of course you're leaving your body, you're not leaving without any clothes. You're not leaving with any clothes. So, but basically, I dress like this because that's our identification. This is what Prabhupada wanted. And that's it. But it's not, we do consider it a detail. It's not one of the principles. It's not like offering your food to Krishna. It's not like chanting Hare Krishna. It's not like worshiping the spiritual master. These are all eternal religious principles. Just like you find in the prayers that Srinivasacharya wrote to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanipanosa Dharma Samastava Ko. What does that mean? That the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they read all these religious literatures with the aim, Nana Shastra, that means many or thousands, with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles. Try to understand that. So, therefore, we can go to another, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, to another religious organization, such as the church, and appreciate if they're doing things like chanting the name of God, glorifying God. But we don't appreciate if they're eating meat, because that violates a principle. The principle is compassion. The principle is offering everything you eat to Krishna, to God, before you eat it. That is a principle. You cannot change that principle. Four regulated principles are principles too. Because wherever someone breaks the four regulated principles, guess who's there? His name starts with a K. Kali. Kali Yuga. So, that's important for us to differentiate principles from details. And in preaching Krishna consciousness, sometimes we just, as we read what Srila Prabhupada wrote in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we adjust the details. The one detail was about carrots, right? You mentioned that yesterday, everybody remember? Carrots. We eat carrots. And even we find, it's interesting, even we find some other gaudiya organizations criticizing ISKCON for eating its lotus carrots. It's amazing. That's because they didn't understand the difference between the principles and details, and the reason that Srila Prabhupada, apart from his not coming down from the spiritual world, being a Shankaracharya avatar, was so successful, he understood the difference. He understood that a sannyasi could cross an ocean for preaching. I mean, Prabhupada was even teaching ladies how to wear saris. I'm not going to do that. Don't worry. Never. I don't even know how to wear a sari. I mean, I put saris on the deities. Yes, I have to say that. I'm Radha Krishna. So, but Prabhupada was expert. He could stay, even though it was against the detail that you're not supposed to stay in the house of someone who's not a vegetarian. In fact, the injunction in the Vedic literature is that if you see the face of someone who is not Krishna conscious, you should immediately run to the Ganges and what? Jump in. Don't change your clothes. So what are we going to do? We're going out there every day. At least I'm going out there every day. And seeing people. Does that mean I keep a spray bottle with me all the time? Ganges water. And every time I see a materialist, Krishna, save me. There's a demon. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. No. So, these are, so the acharya, like Srila Prabhupada, establishes the difference. So, between details and principles, we follow Prabhupada. Don't be more intelligent or try to be more intelligent than the way Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness. Okay, on that happy note, we will chant Jai Radha Madhava. Now, tomorrow we're not going to have our seminar interactive because we have an initiation tomorrow. Some devotees are taking initiation either from me or from Krishna Kshetra Maharaj. So that'll be starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. So we will be wearing dhotis during that. We are not so liberal that we will wear shorts during the Yiddishit. I'm pretty conservative. All right. So remember, when we chant our Radha Madhava, we meditate on the meaning. We meditate on the meaning of the words. Jaya Radha Madhava. And as we're chanting this whole prayer, we then Jaya Radha Madhava, Kunja Vihari. Radha and Krishna are enjoying together in the bushes of Vrindavan. Gopi Janavalava Giribhara Kari. Krishna enjoys the gopis, he's the pleaser of the gopis, and he's also the lifter of what? Govardhan Hill. Yashoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana. Krishna's the pleaser of the residents of Vrindavan, and he's the son of Mother Yashoda. And finally, Yamuna Tira Manachari. Krishna is wandering along the banks of the Yamuna with the gopis. So try to picture that, visualize that. Actually, we had prepared, we would have Anuradha dance that during Jaya Radha Madhava. Could you do that now? Spontaneously? No. She's not spontaneous. So, but if we had, like, maybe for Thursday, which is the last day of our seminar, you could do a Jaya Radha Madhava. Now, tomorrow's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday's Ratha Yatra. It's also the initiation. Thursday is the last day of the seminar. That's probably going to be our Japa day. Tomorrow was going to be our Japa day, but instead we'll do it on Thursday because it's okay. So Friday, that should do the part.
Yes.
Wow. I'm excited. See Jaya Radha Madhava. See, you can do all the mudras and everything like that. I can't do that. No, not me. I got kicked out of dancing class when I was young. I was the first person to get kicked out of dancing class because I stepped on all the girls' toes. So, that's not my skill set. Okay, so try to meditate on the meaning of the words. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jai
Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava.
Glories to the assembled devotees.
glories to Shri Guru and Gaur Radhadash and Prabhupada Vijay Gaur. Okay, so Om Jananath Chandranasha Yadanjana Swakaya Chakshuram Minitam Yenatas Mai Shikapeta Maha. I offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blind in the darkness of ignorance. So, today we're going to speak about one topic that I didn't mention, I should have mentioned before I started the seminar. Was, of course, the seminar is basically connecting with Krishna. Why aren't we feeling ecstasy? Why are we feeling that devotional service has become dry after some time? So one topic I didn't mention, which is one of my favorite topics, is that when we continue in spiritual life, we have to be aware of all of our basic needs. Some of you have taken my course in empathic communication. We have basic needs, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita states that if those basic needs are not met, we are not going to be stable in Krishna consciousness. We're not going to be happy. Basic needs means things like food, water. Like if all of you didn't have enough food this morning, you would not be too happy here. So, food, water, air, light, friendship, autonomy, purpose in life, freedom, and ultimately self-realization. So, what some people call self-actualization. So this is extremely important because I've seen that many devotees think that they are more spiritual than they are. What that means is that we think, wow, I am a great devotee. I do not have any of these needs for fun or recreation or any of those things like that. And ultimately, there will be a disaster. I'm dealing with one case right now, just not this instant, but last night. There was one gentleman at one place in Europe who thought he was so Krishna conscious that he could give up eating and drinking water. Now he's on the fourth day without water. So you know what that means? It means kidney failure. So we have to arrange, I push the devotees to arrange for someone in the hospital to pick him up, take him into the hospital. So that's a, of course that's a gross example of this particular principle. But there's more subtle examples of the principle. You know, we have a need for love, loving relationships. One devotee came to me the other day here at camp. He said, you know, the real problem with one of the main problems with our Krishna conscious movement in our communities is that we haven't applied Rupa Goswami's verse, Vidati Prajigurinati Guyamakyati Prichati Bhagavajita Chaga, which means loving exchanges, giving prasadam, accepting prasadam, giving gifts, accepting gifts, revealing the mind in confidence, and helping others. And this devotee, it's a very good point. We really need to apply this completely in our movement. But this devotee was approached by another devotee in his community. And this is all, I'm not going to mention who it is, what community we're talking about. Actually, it's not here in the ball, so don't worry. It's not a commentary on anything here. It's not a political commentary. It's somewhere else in Europe. This devotee was told by some of the other devotees in the temple that that's a more advanced stage. First, you've got to get to the point of what? Achahara, Priyasas, Chav, Javani, Magaha, Janasangas, Shalayam, Chav, Sabirva, Vinashati. First, you have to get to the point of not over-endeavoring, not eating too much, not talking for Japa, not over, not disobeying the rules and regulations. Shh, please. How do you say be quiet in certain places?
Buddhistico.
What?
Buddhistico.
Buddhistico.
No, Buddhist, B-U-D-I-T-E.
Buddhistico.
T-I-H-O, Tico.
Buddhistico.
Tico. Vicina.
Vicina.
Vicina. Vicina. Vicina. Vicina is silent.
Oh, yeah, but you want to be
so, anyway, getting back to the point, they're not listening in any case. Getting back to the point, the devotee said, first, the verses in the Upadeshamrita are a progression. So first you have to learn how to control your senses before you can have loving exchanges with the devotees. Now, you can start in the beginning having loving, you can take prasadam, you can give prasadam. You don't need to learn how to control your senses and do all these other things. So we may find this in our movement that devotees are applying these rules and regulations perhaps in a heartless way with each other and not being in contact with their own needs, such as the need for love, which is very, very important. You have a need for love. Not that all your Brahmacharya, there's no Brahmacharya. But now that all you mentioned run out and get married, which you're probably already married. So, he's determined. Stay away from me. So anyway, I wanted to talk briefly about this particular point, and also about the point of what. If we connect with Krishna, connect deeply with the holy names, connect deeply with our spiritual master, what do we get out of it? You know, what's in it for us? And Rupa Goswami, he tells us six things that are in it for us, if we can connect deeply with Krishna. These are the six things mentioned in the Nectar Devotion. Does anyone remember Nectar Devotion? Nectar Devotion, first one. Immediate what? Immediate relief from suffering or distress. That's a pretty good one. Next one?
Make you higher. Give you transcendental
energy.
Auspiciousness.
You're getting close. Auspiciousness. Auspiciousness. No, it's good. Transcendental level auspiciousness. Next one? These six are very important because this is what's in store for you when you become Krishna conscious. Happiness. Bliss. It's, of course, rarely achieved. It's the only means for attracting Krishna, pure devotion. You can attract Krishna to you. That's pretty nice.
Nourishment.
Nourishment. Well, happiness. Happiness, you get nourishment, happiness, you attract Krishna. It's rarely achieved. There's one more that's really important that I left out.
Freedom.
I think we need a nectar devotion for us. Devotees decry what? Liberation, personal liberation. In other words, like Prabhupada Saraswati what he said, Kaivalya Nara Kayate, that in person, it's horrible, it's like hell, impersonal liberation. Because we're having so much fun serving Krishna. Whoops. So, that's what's in store for us when we take up devotional service, connect with Krishna. Remember that. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And then in order to do that, we have to follow Lord Chaitanya's six principles of Sharanagati. That's another test. What are the six principles of surrender? Sharanagati. Because we've been hinting at that before in the seminar. We talked about always remembering Krishna. So in order to always remember Krishna, what do you do? Number one.
Tell me what he meant
Accept everything favorable. Good.
Reject
everything unfavorable.
Be humble.
That's the last one. That's the hardest. I can never do that one. So, depend on Krishna. Yeah, understand that Krishna is always protecting one and maintaining one. And just do more.
Be
humble is the last one. Anyone? Any volunteers? Yeah. Translate that?
Surrender.
Surrender? Well, that's getting there. To have no separate interests other than the interests of the Supreme Personality of God. So we try to apply those principles of Sharanagati in order to achieve benefits of pure devotional service. And when we're talking about accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable, we're talking about details, as I mentioned before, not principles. We don't say it's unfavorable for me to follow the four regulated principles. But it may be unfavorable for me to eat chapatis. It may be unfavorable for a person to eat chapatis if they have a wheat allergy, right? So these are not principles. I mean, if you don't eat chapatis and dal, you could still go back to God. Right? Even if you eat pizza, you can go back to God. Krishna, it's pizza in the spiritual world. I know that. So these are all details. Okay. So now I promised you we would do the Guru Vashtika prayers. And what we're going to do with these Guru Vashtika prayers is something similar to what we did on the first day, which is reading the translation of a particular prayer and chanting it together. And then I guess we can share with each verse. Give me your time. We can share with each verse what our experience is, how it differs from the experience that we normally have when we're chanting the Guru Vashtika Mangalarti and we are tired, just got up in the morning. You know, for some people, the Mangalarti is just like torture. So they just force you to get up in the morning. Oh, samsarada, shanaya. Yeah, this is definitely samsara. So I'm going to read, I guess, the word-by-word translation and the translation. We're going to meditate on the meaning, what it means. We're going to visualize the meaning or visualize what's being depicted here. For example, it's, some of the verses, there's a lot of, let's say, visual stuff in it. Like in the first verse, there's clouds, there's water, there's the spiritual master, of course. And there's a fire, and there's a lotus feet. Not a lotus feet, two lotus feet. So, let's read the first verse. Go to samsara-davana lali-loka chanaya-karana gunal-gunal-kwam praptasya-kalyana-gunar-navasya onde guru shri chanasala. It's not onde guru shri. Guru means like a cow. So you have to learn how to pronounce it properly. You say, Vande Guru Sri Chananda. You say, I offer my humble obeisances on the lotus feet of the cow.
Meaning
Guru,
of course.
Guru is horse. Guru, yeah. Guru. Guru is cow. Guru is cow. Guru is horse. So you don't want to offer your obeisances unto the lotus feet of a horse or a cow. You can offer place. He says, and he loves me, your spiritual master, which is much more effective. Unless you're worshiping the horse incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I agree with that. That's fine. So, okay. So, let me read, and then we'll chant the normal melody of this particular verse. So, that's what is some, I already read. So, the translation, listen carefully, of each word is samsara means of material existence. Dava anala means by the forest fire. Lida means afflicted. Now, that's, you may not recognize that word. An affliction is a disease. You say someone has an affliction, that means disease condition. Loka, of course, that means all the people or the world. Shranaya, to deliver. Karuna, of mercy. Guna kom, the quality of a cloud. Praptasya, who has obtained, like prapti. Kalyana, auspicious. That's a common word in Hindi also. Guna, qualities. Arnavasya, who is an ocean. And then Bande, I offer obeisances. Guru, of my spiritual master, Sri, auspicious. Chara, Nara, Aravinda, unto the lotus feet. So, we're going to chant this one verse. I mean, let's do it the same way with three times. And then meditate on the meaning. Meditate and visualize a forest that's on fire. And the spiritual master has obtained the mercy of the cloud, which is the water. And he's extinguished this fire and saved us from this blazing fire. And therefore we worship him. Try to meditate, think of that, visualize that as we chant. Shom sara dovan naradir loka Tranayat karun ya vanagano akvam
Sara dovan naradir loka
Rakasha kalyana kurana vashyamu Vande guru shri charana gavrinda
Rakasha kalyana kurana vashyamu Vande guru shri charana
gavrinda Shamsara kavan nala nilagoka Nayaka Dunyadanabhanokvam
Sasavadhava Nalalitadokha Nayaka Dunyadanabhanokvam
Tathasyam Kalyana Narnavasyam Vande Guru Sri Charanarabhinda
Sakaryana Gunanavasya Vande Guru Sri Charanarabhinda
Shamsaradhavan Naranidhoga Chranaya Karunya Kanaganatvam
So does anyone want to share with us any visualizations or realizations from chanting? Someone raise their hand? Nobody had a visualization, realization? more connection with his prayer. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Chanti.
Meni je bilo super zato što nisam morala ništa da zamišljam. Tu je Šila Prabhupad, tu su božanstva, tu je Guru Maharaj, tako da samo sam imala misao koliko gorim u ovom postojanju. Ja lično u svojoj vatri koja jeste i ova milost koja je kao hladan tuš kada se onako vreo, koja obriva sve i osjećaj da sam kod kuće i želim svim baktama da u svakom trenutku svog života to realizuje i ja želim sebi da se sećam tome kad odem pravda. Hvala Guru Maharaj.
And here is my spiritual master, and I just felt a fantastic feeling of relief as I was burning in the flames of this existence, and with the mercy of my spiritual master, this was being extinguished, and I felt a wonderful relief inside, and I wish all those that they feel the same. Thank
you. Very good. In other words, if everyone couldn't hear, because it wasn't amplified in English, that she felt relief inside, feeling that that Srila Prabhupada, this not so humble person, was helping her to extinguish the blazing fire. What does the blazing fire mean? Adiatmic, adibodhic, adidaivic miseries in this material world. Miseries from other living entities, miseries from other devotees, miseries, nobody's going to laugh at that. I know, I said other living entities, miseries. Miseries from the body and mind, miseries from the material nature in general. And all those miseries are extinguished by the mercy of the spiritual master. So how does one get the mercy of the spiritual master?
By following his instructions.
Yes, not by simply touching the feet. Wish it was that easy. Just touch the feet. Like when I was young, I would follow Srila Prabhupada on his morning walks and eat the dust from his feet. You know, as he, not touching his feet, but as he walked, he would leave footprints in the sand and I'd eat the sand. And that's why I'm here today. Anyway. So we have some of that sand to sell the devotees later on after the class. Be €1,000 per bite. So, now, if I'm here today, it's because I listen to Srila Prabhupada, I want to serve Srila Prabhupada, I want to please Srila Prabhupada. That's why. Not because I mean, it's good that I took it, that I stole the Mahaprasadam after Srila Prabhupada ate it, didn't share with the devotees. That's good. But there are plenty of people, you see, that most of Prabhupada's servants are not in the movement anymore. I mean, I can just think of one Shrutakirti who is in the movement. But most of Prabhupada's personal servants, I can go down the line and show them, and other people are not in the movement. Why is that? Because they didn't hear. If you hear nicely and hear regularly, it won't go away. So that's the first verse. We may not get through all the verses, but so, what I'm trying to illustrate, even if we don't go through all the verses, is as you hear in these verses, or chanting Jai Radha Madhava or any other prayer, you should be thinking, visualizing the meaning. Then it becomes very pleasurable. It's no longer a ritual that you're just doing because you have to, because you won't get prasadam if you don't go to Mangalarati. There was one temple, whereas if someone came to Mangalarti late, they have to write the Hare Krishna mantra like 1,000 times on a piece of paper. We don't want to to actually be motivated by that, by threats. We want to be motivated by happiness. Okay, I get up early every morning, just like yesterday I was talking to one devotee. He asked, boy, you get up really early. I do. I get up at about 2:30, 3 o'clock every morning. And the reason is, I like to chant. Nobody's forcing me. I get up early, and I love to chant the holy names. It's a great time for chanting, great time for meditating the holy name. No one else is up. No one's going to send me text messages. No one's going to write to me. And just chant. And it's just really blissful. And nobody's watching over me. There's no social pressure. I could sleep. Nobody would bother me if I slept till the time of the seminar in the morning. Might be nice. But anyway. But I do that because I like to. So you'll like to do, you'll look forward to Mangalarti. One thing about chanting and Mangalarti, the things you do in the morning, it starts the night before. If you go to bed reading, you know, some Krishna Katha, Krishna book, like Prabhupada had us reading Krishna book before we took rest every night. Then you're thinking of the next morning getting up. You'll be blissful when you get up. If you go to sleep reading the news, you'll be depressed when you get up the next morning. Which is practical. Okay, so we'll go to the next verse, which is really visual. And this is about the spiritual master's experience of ecstasy, bhava. Everyone's heard of bhava before? Right now, we are all on the stage of bhava. I hate to tell you that. It's called bhava rope. What's bhava rope? Bhava, it's a special bhava, bhava rope. Does anyone know what it is? What is it? Yeah, it's the disease condition. So we experience bhava when there's a material pleasure, and we experience pain, that's another bhava, that's another emotion. So this is called bhava roga. But we want to experience the bhavas that the spiritual master experiences, which are basically anubhava. Anubhava means when he sees things that remind him of Krishna, and that puts him in ecstasy, like when Mukunda, Lord Chaitanya's great associate, saw a peacock feather. He was a physician. He fell off a high platform. He felt so much ecstasy. That's called Anubhava. And then Bibhava. Then there's Anubhava. That's called Bibhava. Then Anubhava means the ecstasy that follows. That jumping high in ecstasy, or rolling on the ground, or foaming at the mouth, like that, and then the Ashtasattvika Bhava, the eightfold ecstasies, and then after that, the Sanjari Bhavas, the 33 ecstasies, and then, of course, with Srimati Radharani, Mahabhava. All these different symptoms are there for us when we become Krishna conscious. And all these symptoms are exhibited by the great devotees of the Lord, specifically our Srila Prabhupada. So that's what's described in this next verse. So I'll read the verse translation, word by word, and then we'll chant. Mahaprabhu Kirtana Richagita. Incidentally, most devotees pronounce it Nichagita. It's Richagita. Richa means dancer. Richa Gita, Vadikramadyan Manasaura Sena, Bhavancha Kampa Shru, Taranga Bhajo, Vande, Guru Shri Chanamadavindam. So, Mahaprabhu, of course, means Lord Chaitanya. And Kirtan means. Richa means what?
Dancing.
Like Radha. Gita means singing. Vaditra means what? Musical instruments. Playing a guitar. Madhya. Madhya means gladdened. It's like mad with gladness, basically. Madhya means mad with gladness. Not just being glad. It means maddened, just so happy, unlimitedly happy. Manasa, in the mind, arasena, due to the mellows of pure devotion. Romancha. Who knows what that is? Means the hairs are standing on end. And then kamba.
Shaking.
Trying to make a visual for all of you. Of course, I'm not an ecstasy limitation. And ashutaranga. It's described when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would cry, they would spurt out like a syringe, like a water pistol. Seriously. That's what the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes. So the spirit, the tears are torrents of tears. That means pouring down. And Vaja means fields. And then, of course, we have the noble Bande, Guru, Shri, Chandra. So, chanting the holy name, dancing in ecstasy, singing and playing musical instruments, the spiritual master is always gladdened by the Sankirtan movement. It's not Sankirtan, Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is relishing the mellows of pure devotion within his mind. Sometimes his hair stands on end. He feels quivering in his body and tears flow from his eyes like waves. I offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. Now, we experience that with Srila Prabhupada very often. I remember looking at Srila Prabhupada's eyes, and you actually see tears. He was holding them back. But you'd usually see a tear in Srila Prabhupada's eye. And sometimes it would roll down Srila Prabhupada's cheek. And then another time, with Srila Prabhupada, the devotee, this happened twice, it was in Miami and also Caracas, Venezuela, that Srila Prabhupada saw Gurudattai deities and he began to chant the song Paramakarana Govindvijanam Nittai Gauracham. So that song means there are two lords, supremely merciful, Paramakarana means supremely merciful, Govindvijanam, those two lords, Nittai Gauracham. And Prabhupada looked at the man and he just couldn't continue. And he went into trance for like 5 minutes. Both places. And Prabhupada, the devotees had to chant to bring Prabhupada out of the trance. And when Prabhupada was asked, what should we do when you're in the trance? Prabhupada said, apologetically, I do not do that very often. So in other words, he was always holding those things back. So a bona fide, pure devotee is always holding back the ecstasy. Because if he showed it to you, it could all become sahajas. Like if Prabhupada were to roll on the ground in ecstasy, then all the devotees would do that. You'd find we become the holy rollers. That's it. And one of the Christian sects is called the holy rollers, where they roll on the ground. One time, someone was doing that. He was rolling on the ground in front of the devotees. The devotees thought he was in ecstasy. And Prabhupada was asked, what should we do? And Prabhupada said, kick him out. There's also a similar story with Haridas Thakur. That Haridas Thakur was dancing one time, and someone imitated his dance. Everyone appreciated Haridas Thakur. Someone imitated his dance, and the person who was the snake charmer doing the dance, some of you may know the story, started to kick this guy. Even though he was a Brahmin, Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family. So, therefore, these symptoms can't be imitated, but we appreciate that's the position of the great pure devotees of Srila Prabhupada. That whenever they hear Hare Krishna, in fact, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that if you hear Hare Krishna and your heart is not changed, you're not feeling all these symptoms, your heart is still framed. You got spiritual problems there. That's our diagnosis. You're in trouble. You got to do something about it. You got to connect, like we're talking about connecting. All right, let's just chant this particular verse and meditate on the meaning. Meditate either on your spiritual master or Srila Prabhupada, hearing the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. That's Maha, Prabhu, the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Meditate on that and feeling so happy to see that. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, when he would attend sometimes the Rath Yatra, he was so happy. I remember the London Rath Yatra. He danced in spite of being in bad health throughout the whole London Rath Yatra for hours. In San Francisco, we saw the same thing happen. Okay? So, we'll chant this.
Mahaprabhu kirtananrichatiko Vaditra manyan manasurasena
Mahaprabhu kirtananrichatiko Vaditra manyan manasurasena
Umanchikambas rudanangavajavu Vande Guru Sri Charanara Vinda
Chakanta Shuddhananda Vajra Vande Guru Sri Charanara Vinda
Mahaprabhu Kirtanan Richakito Vaditra Manyan Manasura Sena Chakanta
So I think in this case we can share with our neighbors how we felt about it, since we were very shy to share in public. Share with your neighbors. Turn around. And of course, next year, just share how you felt chanting, whether you were able to visualize or not able to visualize. No one to share with. You want to share with me?
Thank you.
katoličku struku, da li je bio tijelo častič pravo je pisao na tebe?
Seeing Prabhupada as the Radha Yatra, and then it was mentioned that sometimes when I chant the morning program, referring to myself, that I sort of change the melody a little bit or the rhythm a little bit because of what I'm thinking of. So that'll happen. Actually, it's a fact, if you listen to Prabhupada, that Prabhupada varied sometimes his intonation and even stretched out words sometimes. According to the meaning, you can hear that Prabhupada was very much in tune with the meaning that he chanted. Because you can tell that from the subtle inflections in the voice. And if you listen very closely to Prabhupada's bhajans, we have many of them, of course, that have been recorded, you will hear his ecstasy. Seriously. One time, instead of just, you know, listening to the song and cooking or something else, just sit down and try to hear every single inflection in Prabhupada's voice, and you'll hear the quivering in Prabhupada's body and the ecstasy, the happiness, and all and many other symptoms in Prabhupada's singing. Very, very important. I remember going on Sankirtan when I was in Bodhi. Nobody laughed at that. But anyway, John, I was testing to see if you're listening. So going on Sankirtan when I was
in It wasn't funny. Because you are still devotee.
I don't know about it. Prabhupada said it, if you think of yourself as a devotee, a real devotee doesn't think of himself as a devotee. Lord Chaitanya said, if I was actually devoted to Krishna, I couldn't live. So anyway, many years ago, I remember going on Sankirtan for many hours a day and at night, you sit down and listen to Prabhupada's bhajans. And after you've been preaching, things get, you know, it's like, so focusing the camera lens, you know, everything becomes sharp, and you can hear the symptoms of ecstasy in Prabhupada's voice. So who else wants to share? I already shared. Someone else want to share what they talked about? Wow. Everybody is shy here. Nobody felt any different from chanting or hearing the chanting. No? Oh my God. Yeah, yes. They've got a microphone.
It's safe now.
It's safe. Microphone is safe. Push it up. Not working.
Hari Hari.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not happen yet for my biosynthesis. So I didn't really, I'm not really sure if I had some realizations, but I decided to share that I couldn't really picture, you know, anything. I couldn't really picture any like kind of like each word all day together. But I noticed that if I just carefully listen to each word, so I just try to feel that there is some deep sense, there is some deep meaning in each word, I feel like something is opening. So I feel that it was really nice. Yeah, so I felt that like the deep meaning of the words is going, if I keep on doing it like mangularity after mangularity, this meaning will open to me.
Yes, if you hear nicely, because the transcendental sound is enough to enter into the heart. Like Prabhupada would say sometimes, he would be giving a talk in Hindi or Bengali, and the devotees wouldn't understand. Prabhupada would say, you'll be purified just by listening. Because the sound, the vibration, Goloka, Era, Vrindadana, Harinama, Sankirtana, is coming from the spiritual world, that's true.
May I add something?
Yeah, sure.
So I felt like this visualization, it is not like inside of me. So this visualization, these images, you know, these meanings, they are inside of these words. So it's not like me, the source of it. So if I just listen carefully, then...
Very nice.
Thank you so much.
So, someone else want to share? Any of the men want to share? Talk about something with each other. Yes.
Actually, I have certain songs which I really know the meaning. Especially Dhamma Ashtaka. For Dhamma Ashtaka, I like really know the meaning. And certain songs are really struck me really hard and deeply. And sometimes I just imagine and remember what I'm singing about. And it's, well, some of the years come, and of course some songs I don't know all of them, but I'm gradually learning one by one, so yeah, I can really experience that. I can share it really. Some songs are really, really nice and really deep and emotional. Actually, I don't know, some kind of emotion start to grow inside when you just, even you know what you're singing about. It's
wow.
So powerful.
Thank you. That really helps. Actually, when I go to Slovenia, they have panchatattva there. Everybody knows what the panchatattva is? No? Panchatattva. That's Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shiv, Vaidya, Gadadhar, Shivasadi. Maybe not Korva. Maybe the rest of them. So, when we chant the panchatattva maha mantra during the arti, I look at each person. You know, use the sense of sight. I look at each of the persons. I think, oh, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, he's the one with the beard. Gadadhar. And Shivas. And it's just like this, wow, they're there in their holy names. And they're there on the altar. And then when I chant the Guru Bhashtaka, which we're chanting, I look at Prabhupada's picture. So this way we get more connected. So I just want to give you, that was a brief demonstration. So anybody have any questions before we end today? Questions about this? And the next? Yes? Questions? Because we're going to end now. I got told I'm supposed to end at 11:45 and now it's 11:50, but we have time for one or two more questions. Anyone has questions? Yes?
I've been thinking of translating for my own purpose, or maybe for my children, Vaishnava songs into my own language, because for them it doesn't mean much. It doesn't mean almost anything because they don't understand them. So I sometimes translate word by word or certain phrases, but would you say that the benefit of singing a song in the same creation is the same as singing in Sanskrit, or is the sound vibration of Sanskrit still nevertheless more powerful than some other language.
That's an interesting question. I would say, as Prabhupada said, that if something is presented according to the right siddhanta, in disciplic succession, siddhanta means the conclusion, in disciplic succession, it has that potency. So, words in your local language, whether it's English or Serbo-Croatian or whatever it's local language, German, can be very potent if you're the person translating them. Has to be in disciplic succession. Has to be, make sure they get the meaning and the siddhanta proper and the bhava, the bhava, or the emotions proper. All these things have to be done. That's why Prabhupada had us translate his books into different languages. English, I mean, why wouldn't Prabhupada have us just chant Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit? Because the English, or whatever local language is, has that potency. So I would say that's very good for children. If you want to keep children in Krishna consciousness, I would ask that people write songs in their local language. If we had more days in this particular seminar, one of the things I wanted to do is have the devotees poeticize different Vaishnava songs. In other words, assign devotees, let's say, the song of Lala Samaya, which is Goranga Valite Havi Bhumada Sharia. Poeticize that in your own language. Maybe not sing it, but poeticize it in your own language. Paraphrase it in your own language. One of the ways that I discovered for studying the Bhagavad Gita very thoroughly, without having to attend these long courses, is you go through the Bhagavad Gita and you paraphrase each verse. Even if you know it in your own language, if it's written in your own language, like it is in English, then write it yourself. You know what paraphrasing means? You paraphrase it, and it's very powerful. You'll remember something if you put it in your own words. Like many times, devotees, they'll recite, even in their language, a particular Bhagavad Gita verse, but they won't remember it. I see that with children many times. They're taught just to memorize a verse like a parrot. You know, like a parrot memorizes? And rather than knowing the meaning, and they don't know the meaning if you ask them. I mean, I know a lot of people went to the Gurukulas and everything like that. They know 100 verses, and you ask them the meaning of the verse, they really don't know the meaning of the verse. So it's very powerful to put something not only in your own language, but in your own words. Especially when dealing with children. Does that answer the question? But it's very, very powerful. There is an interesting version of the Bhagavatam, first canto, that's written by one of my one of the devotees named Krishna Dharma. He's written the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in a very story-like format. And I've read it, and it's an amazing experience because it helps me understand the first canto even better than I did before, even though I've read the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam many, many, many times. So there's nothing wrong with putting it in your own language. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke in his home language. He spoke Sanskrit, but when he was preaching to people, he preached in Bengali. It's interesting, isn't it? He didn't preach in Sanskrit. Narottama Das Thakur took the truths of the Vedic literatures and presented them in Bengali. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did the same thing. So that is the example that we have to follow. Taking the knowledge we have and putting it into our local language, because we can't expect the general mass of people to appreciate, understand, or relate with Sanskrit or Bengali. The first day of the seminar, I made the point that I've often watched Bengali devotees chanting bhajans, and they're really connected. And I would get envious. I said, why can't I be a good devotee like that? And I was thinking, why are they doing that? Because they understand what they're chanting. Not only understand, I understand what I'm chanting, but it's not my natural language. In other words, I understand Upper Bengali, Goranga Valite Havi Mulaga Sharira, I understand that exactly. But because I think in English, not in Bengali, it doesn't have the same effect. So we may even need some English songs. I remember there was one, I'm not saying in the temple itself. The temple itself should be the Sanskrit songs and the Gala songs. Don't worry. But there was one album that came out a number of years ago. It was called Change of Heart. Anyone's heard of that album? Change of Heart album? No. You heard the Change of Heart album. And it was all in English. Prabhupada liked it. And the devotees, they liked it so much. They were playing it too much. They were playing it in the kitchen, the temple room, and everything like that. But it really brought a lot of people into Krishna consciousness, because they had something in their own language that they could relate to. So we need songs, and Prabhupada even wrote some poetry in English. The offering to his spiritual master, you know, adore, adore, y'all, the day, his spiritual master's Vyas Puja homage. Prabhupada wrote poetry in Bengali. So the devotees are meant to become kavis or poetic. So there's nothing wrong with utilizing the local language, of course not in the temple, during the standard programs. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Michael Cassidy had that song, that album, Change of Hearts. Change of Hearts. Okay, we got to end now. I have been told to hit the road. Thank you very much. We'll see you all on Thursday, the last day. Tomorrow we're having the initiation. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.